Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So today we want to look at the subject of kingdom love. Kingdom love, okay? So please turn to Matthew 21 and then verse 43. Afterwards, put your hands there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and then verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and then verse 14. Matthew chapter 21 first, the Bible says, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it." This is the conclusion of a parable Jesus Christ gave about a man, a landowner, who had a vineyard and leased it out to vine dressers or farmers. And when the time for the fruit came, he sent people for the fruit, but they killed one and they stoned another and they beat one. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same thing to them, beat them up. You know, these farmers, they beat them up, and then they will kill them. They will stone some. And finally, he said that, "I'm going to send my son." Hallelujah. Says that they will respect my son. When he sent the son to the farmers said, "This is the heir, the person who is going to inherit this vineyard. So let's kill him, so that the vineyard becomes ours." So they kill the son. And that is the parable. At the end of the time, God said that the parable said he was going to deal with those people, those farmers or vine dressers who killed the people. God was going to deal with them. Because God knows how to defend his own property from people who are trying to assume it. You know, so the conclusion was that the kingdom of God was going to be taken from the Jewish people. Actually, this parable is about them refusing the kingdom message of Jesus, the kingdom of God that Jesus brought. So he says that the kingdom of God will be taken from them and given to another. That should clearly tell you that the kingdom of God can be taken and it can be given. Says that it will be taken from the Jewish people and given to a nation, referring to us Gentiles, who will bring him the fruit of it. So the bottom line is that God wants fruit. He just doesn't want you to say, "I belong to the kingdom. I have been translated into the kingdom." You can have the kingdom and not produce fruit. So he says that, "I want to give it to people who will produce the fruit of it." Because what I want is not just you having the kingdom. I want you to bring forth the fruit of the kingdom. Is that right? So in applying the scripture to us, you have to understand that all of us believers have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. And all believers are farmers. That was our profession right from the beginning. In the first kingdom era, we were farmers. Adam and Eve were to dress the garden and keep the garden. The same imagery goes for us. We are supposed to dress the vineyard and produce fruit of it. So the kingdom of God can be likened to a garden of vines, okay? And then we are supposed to be farmers who are going to produce fruit of it. God is looking for fruit of the kingdom. I want us to, moving right along, understand that in the Bible, there is a law of interpreting the Bible. The first time a word is used, it's like a key has been given you to understand that word wherever it is used throughout the Bible. The first time the word fruit was used in the Bible was by John the Baptist, when he said to the Jewish people, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, let your character show that you have repented. Okay, so the use of the word fruit was firstly used, I should say, as a character trait. So subsequently, when you see fruit of the kingdom, you must understand it first of all as God looking for a certain character. Because some people use the word fruit for other things. You know, they use it for other things. They can say, when they have a car, they can say they have a fruit. It's a fruit of their faith. You see the thing? When they build a house, they say, these are my fruits. These are my products. But the use in the Bible, the first use, was about character. It was not about projects. It was not about businesses. All right? It was just about character. So we want to stick to that today. We want to stick to that, so that we don't go wrong. The Bible always interprets the Bible. That is why in the book of Revelations 22 verse 2, the Bible tells us that in before the throne of God, there is the tree of life. And the tree of life brings forth 12 fruits. Okay? And it brings forth the fruit every month. What it means is that every month, God wants to remind us that it's not just that you receive the kingdom. I want you to produce fruit of the kingdom. Every month, remind yourself. Of the 12 months of the year, remind yourself that God is looking for fruit. You can do all the things that you have to do. If you don't have character, you can forget it, as far as God is concerned. So he wants to remind us over and over and over again. Jesus Christ said, in that day, they will say to me, you see, Lord, Lord, let's enter the kingdom, you know. And he says, no, you are a worker of iniquity, although you work miracles in my name, although you cast out devils in my name, although you did signs and wonders in my name, although you prophesied in my name, I will still say to them, I do not know them, because of what? Because their character, their fruit, is not the kingdom type. It's wonderful. So he wants to remind us every month of the year. That is why every month of the year, we want to remind ourselves of our bearing fruits of the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. So today we want to look at one fruit of the kingdom. We call it kingdom love. Kingdom love. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, what does it say? The grace of our Lord Jesus. Please underline grace in your Bible. The love of God, underline love in the Bible. And the friendship or fellowship of the Holy Spirit, underline fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your Bible. So you have underlined three things: grace, love, and friendship. Practically, they are the same. Practically, grace is the same as love. In other words, in everyday life, when you are showing grace, you are loving somebody. Hallelujah. In everyday life, when you are showing love of God, that is agape of God, unconditional love of God, what we call kingdom love, you know, when you are showing it practically, you are showing grace to the person because it's unconditional in nature. What about friendship? It didn't say anything about the Holy Spirit to be with us, but the friendship. I know you. I know some of us, we will wish that the anointing of the Spirit be with you all the time. Amen. Yeah. We say it with anointing. Amen. But unfortunately, in ending his letter to the church of Corinth, he said, the friendship of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, the friendship of the Holy Spirit is not your friendship. Your friendship, it knows limits. I'm talking about human friendship. The friendship of the Holy Spirit is unconditional in nature. It is the type that when you are in trouble, he will not desert you. It is a time that even when, if you disobey him, okay, he will not leave you in your disobedience. Because if he leaves you in your disobedience, you are going to rot. The friendship of the Holy Spirit is perfect friendship. It's not friendship that knows limits. So practically in everyday life, friendship of the Holy Spirit is also talking about grace. It's also talking about love. So look at it. The triune God, God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. All of them, they want us to see something about them. What is it that Jesus wants us to see about him? He wants us to see one thing about him: grace. Because he came on earth full of grace and truth. What is the one thing God wants you to have a revelation of? Is it the justice of God? God is just, yes. Is it the holiness of God? God is holy, yes. But he wants you to have a revelation of one thing, because if you get that revelation of that one thing about him, all other things will fall in place. You understand his justice, you understand his holiness, you will live a holy life. That thing that you have to get a revelation of about God is his love. And the other thing about the Holy Spirit, yes, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is important in our everyday life. But there is something about the Holy Spirit that he wants you to get a revelation of. Because that one thing is going to take care of every other thing that the Holy Spirit can do for you, including anointing you. That is called the friendship of the Holy Spirit. If we put it all together, God is talking about love, love, love. The love of Jesus, the love of God, the love of the Holy Spirit. The grace of Jesus, the grace of God, the grace of the Holy Spirit. The love of God, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit says, be with you. Hallelujah. It is an important fruit of the kingdom, my brothers and sisters, for us to get a revelation of God's love. Because there are many things that a revelation of God's love is going to do for us. A revelation of God's love, ladies and gentlemen, is going to help us to love God better. When you want to love God, somebody says, let's love God. Let's show that we love God. How do I love him? I want to love God, but I find in myself, I find it difficult to love God. How can I love him? I will show you how. When you know that he loves you irresistibly, when you know that although you didn't ask for him, he came to you. Although you were down and you were a sinner, he still loved you and took your sins upon himself and said that I am the person who sinned with your sins. And I've given you righteousness. When you understand God's love for you on the cross, because that is the highest expression of his love. The highest expression of God's love is not giving you food every day to eat. The highest expression of God's love is not giving you a child who looks like you. Eh? The highest expression of God's love is not giving you academic degrees. What God wants to show to you is more than degrees. What God wants to show to you is more than fame. He wants to show you his love. Why? Because when you see his love, you will love him back. The Bible says that we love God because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. How can I love God? When I understand the love of him. I know the dimensions of God's love, the height and the depth and the width, the length of the love of God, the dimensions of God's love. That was Paul's prayer for the saints. For the saints to know the height and the depth and the length and then the width of God. That you will be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah.
We'll be back briefly to continue our work. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule about the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom. to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God, strategy, the kingdom message, and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching, and preaching, audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion M Broadcast.
Because when you know the dimensions of His love, when you know that God loves you, when you know that God is, ladies and gentlemen, you have the fullness of God, the holiness, the faith of God, the anointing, everything. The greatest of these, the Bible says, is love. Hallelujah. That sometimes the devil can sway us from what we should focus on, the love of God, into other things. He told us that you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved son. Just after Jesus was being tempted, the devil came and said that if you are the son of God, Jesus was not the son of God. You say he was the beloved son of God. He was a loved son of God. So Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceeded. Because the devil left out the word beloved. They want Jesus to think he's the son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many believers who are just content and okay to see that they are the sons of God. But I want you to understand that you are not just the son of God. You are a loved son of God. You are a loved son of God. You are accepted in the beloved. When God is calling his lovers, you are there accepted. Yes, I know you will say that I deserve it. Pastor, do you know my Christian life? I don't do things that God wants me to do. I came to tell you still that the love of God is unconditional. That is what it has. We know other kind of love. But those love, they are not kingdom love. They are little love. They belong to the air. You know? The Father's love is unconditional. I call it kingdom love. Because in the heavenly kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, there is no erotic love. That love that exists between a man and a woman, or I should say a husband and a wife. In the heavenly kingdom, we are not married, so we have to understand that. There is a kind that belongs to the kingdom. Eros, erotic love, romantic love. You say that I have no feeling towards this person. How can I marry her when I don't feel anything? How can I marry him because I don't love him? Look at him as a brother. Ladies and gentlemen, it belongs to man. It belongs to the earth. It's not kingdom love. The love that is in a heavenly kingdom is what I'm talking to you about. It is the one that God had. It is a conditional nature. It doesn't look at the person. God just looks at himself because he is love. And he cannot help it but to be self. And to love us. Hallelujah. Why do we have to know that God loves us? 1 John 2:15. He says that if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If anybody loves the world, any believer is torn between the world and God. It's torn between obeying this world system and obeying the kingdom arrangement. It's torn between obeying his own human nature and obeying the word of God. How can he overcome it? Because that is a practical reality of our lives. Our life is full of whether to go your own way and to slap the person back and not to greet the person who doesn't greet you and to hate your enemies and love your friends. That is our human instinct. It belongs to the earth. God's one. Jesus said, I say to you, love not just friends, but love your enemies. It's an unconditional love. He said that if you greet those who greet you, what reward have you? In other words, I don't reward those kind of love. That is a reciprocal love. Because he salutes me, I salute him. Because he respects me, I respect him. No, God doesn't do that. He respects us although we don't respect him. That is why he doesn't invade our will. He always still appeals to us. That is how come people don't understand. Why is it that these things are going on in the world? God will never violate mankind because he said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion over all the earth. He didn't say, let's make man and let them have dominion on the earth. We have the dominion. We have the control. And God will not disrespect you, ladies and gentlemen. He never disrespects the devil. He never does that. The angels, they see Lucifer. They cannot rebuke him. They said the Lord rebukes you. Because they still have to give him regard. Because of who he was. Before he became the devil, he was Lucifer. He was an archangel. God shows respect to mankind. Although the psalmist says, although God is high, yet he has respect unto the lowly. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, how can we overcome this problem of dedicating our lives to the Bible and obeying the Bible as against obeying your peers who are in the schools, your peers who are telling you that all these things, it will not help you. Church will not help you. Prayer and fasting for what? How can we dedicate our lives to him? I'll show you how. 1 John 2 verse 15. You shouldn't love the world. Anybody who loves the world, the love of the Father is in him. He didn't say the love for the Father is not in him. He said the love of the Father. In other words, the person doesn't know that the Father loves him. He doesn't know that. Because if he knows that he is a beloved son of God, no temptation can overcome him. That is why Jesus lived by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God when God said, "Thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." The devil left out the word beloved, and Jesus said that I will live my life by every word. The one that you drop, I am inserting it. I know God loves me. Because you know that God loves you, you will not go and flex. Because you know that God loves you, you will see that you are so noble. You are so honorable. I mean, you are so majestic to condescend to sin and to get into the gutter and to be like everybody else because you are the object of God's love. You are special to God. You will see your specialness in such a way. You will always love God. You will not love sin. Hallelujah. Anybody who loves the world, who has a problem with loving God, he has to understand the dimensions of God's love for him. God's love for him. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, God's love, the Father's love. Thank God today is the Father's love. Talking about the Heavenly Father. The Father's love even makes us. Let me speak to this issue, because I know some of you are the sons of God, but you believe that. I don't see why God should make me the son of God, not deliver me from generational curses. Does it add up? God makes you a son of God. He gives you the greatest. Now are we? He says, behold the love that the Father has loved us, that we should be called the sons of God. Indeed, we are. Practically, the word indeed means practically we are. In this life right now, as you are in this life that you are in, indeed you are the son of God. Not in heaven. But in this earthly life, you have all the questions and you have all the issues, human issues, trying to gush out into your mind and into your life. You are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Why should God deliver me the best gift of being his son, of being his very righteousness? And then he doesn't take this. It doesn't add up, I said. Because some of us, especially African people, we are so deceived by everybody else, thinking that if you believe in Jesus, you believe in the cross, there are still curses following you. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he redeem us from the curse of the law? By being made a crucified. It was love that sent him to the cross, and it was love that delivered us from curses. Curses. Hallelujah. That is why Luke chapter 12, Jesus, in talking about the Father's love, he said in verse 27, consider how you grow. He was saying that, don't you know that you have more value to God than the sparrows that God is taking care of? And then he told them to consider two things. First of all, he said that consider the ravens. The ravens are those in Canada, they are black and white. I was in Asia many years ago, I think the year 2000 or so. I was in Islamabad and I saw those which were gray and white. I said, wow. I said, God, your world is big. You created many nations of the world. You see birds that you don't see in Ghana. And you say, God, you are wonderful. Our crows are cats. And you don't like them. I know when you see them, they are crying, it's nauseating. But don't like to see them around. God said, hated crows. And in the book of Leviticus, part of the birds that God said they were unclean. They were clean birds. But Heavenly Father loved the unclean people of this world. He loves the unclean birds. So he said that, look at the heavens, look at us. You Jewish people, Jesus was speaking to Jews then. You say that they are unclean. You say not unclean as touch my lips. You say that the crows, according to God's law, they are unclean. But I have a condition I have that doesn't know an unclean bird. He said that, look at the crow. I feed the crow. How much more you, who is clean? How much more you, who are my righteousness? How much will I not feed you? How much more will I not clothe you? How much more will I not give you shelter? That is a house, including a car, because a car will shelter you, or shield you, I should say, from the elements like the sun and the rain and everything. How much more will I give clothing? Something to shelter you. Even the crows, I do it for them. Jesus, don't worry about your life. Your Heavenly Father cares for you. He loves you unconditionally. Consider the crows, he said. Consider, in the Greek, it said you should intently observe. Just observe them. Have you had time to observe? I know you observe the doves, but also the crow, you don't want to set your eyes on them, because what it is in their mouth is even dirty. Jesus said, I consider them. Yes, they are dirty. They are not born again. They are not washed. But your Heavenly Father takes care of them, because he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, on the thankful and on the unthankful. We don't thank God and worship God so that God will do good to us, because he does good to the thankful and to the unthankful. So do I have to thank God before God will protect me? No, he doesn't do that. He will protect you. Consider this. He said, secondly, consider the lilies. Do you know where the lilies are coming from? If you go to the Holy Land and God gave you the privilege of going there, you will see fields of them. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Some of fields, you see some flower deliberately grown. I mean, you can't see the end of it. Beautiful. Jewish people, and they are Greek. Beautiful. Jesus said, I'm sure he was standing by some of those fields. He said, look at them. Look at the lilies. How they grow. How they grow. Do you know how they grow? They grow, listen carefully to me, they grow by being in the soil. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 27. So that some of you understand, I'm not speaking my words, but inspired words. Consider the lilies, how they grow. The question is that, what should we consider about the lilies? He says, consider how they grow. How does the lily grow? By remaining in the earth. Is it a wonderful earth? No. I'm sure you know that this earth is cursed. It's not just the curse of the law he delivers us from by his love, but the curse of even the fall. Where God cursed the earth for man's sake, not cursed man. Because he loves man too much, he will not curse man. He will curse the earth for the sake of man, so that man will know that the earth doesn't have any good thing for him. Man will turn to God. The curse on the earth is to help man to find God. Because the devil had taken over the rulership of this earth, and God cursed the thing that he was ruling over, so that man will not be deceived to think that the devil is a wonderful devil. When the earth is yielding everything the way that it should yield. Says, I consider the lilies, how they grow. How do they grow? They are in a cursed place. But God takes care of them. Cursed lilies, how they grow. They are cursed. Their mothers were cursed. I hope you know that. Because through pollination they grow. And their mothers, who pollinated them, I should say. Or allow me to say that. They were cursed, and their mothers were cursed, and their mothers were cursed. How they grow?
from a cursed head. They are so nice in such a way that he says that Solomon, the richest king up to now, the richest of the kings up to now, was not, it's not clothed like one of these, and they are living in cursed head.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.